Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the UFC 292 main event for the bantamweight title, defending champion Aljamain Sterling, taking on the very exciting and very marketable Sean O'Malley. Of course, we're very excited about this one. It should be quite a wild fight. Very chaotic styles, both of these guys. One a bit more measured than the other, and I'll come into that in a moment. A quick shout out to our new sponsor, Harney & Sons Tees. This is an ideal sponsor for the channel, as you can imagine. They have a sale right now on their wellness tees. They're 20% off. If you use the code FULLREPTILE, you'll get an additional 15% off. I believe this one's the organic tune-up, which I'm just getting into at the moment. Honestly, these teas are high quality, delicious, that you're gonna be really pleased with these teas when you order some. And I've got to give this a shout out as well. This is, if you don't have golden milk before you go to bed and wake up the next morning feeling as wonderful as I do, you're going to regret it. Make sure you get some golden milk. It's really, really good stuff. Nice, quality, organic teas, taste delicious, and of course, suit Full Reptile and the whole crew perfectly. Okay, right, tale of the tape. So, the defending champion, Aljamain Sterling, 23 wins and 3 losses on his record. Sean O'Malley with an equally impressive but not quite as experienced 16-1 with 1 no contest. Sean O'Malley will have a height and reach advantage. The reach is only 1 inch, but the height is 4 inches. And I think we're going to see that reach advantage if Aljamain Sterling makes the mistake of giving him the space that he wants to work with. 11 knockouts on the record of Sean O'Malley out of 16. He's got very, very high striking statistics just kind of across the board. Very, very slick. Significant strikes, the highest in the division at 60.9%. Just a good management of work rate. Nothing too crazy, nothing too outlandish. Doesn't take too many crazy risks, even though he's got quite a free-flowing style. On the other side, Aljamain Sterling is, you know, of course, very experienced, holds a lot of number ones in the statistics for the bantamweight division. Control time, total strikes, 1,646. Decision wins, win streak, total fight time. It's like something like 4 hours worth of total fight time. It's crazy the amount of time that Aljamain Sterling spent inside the octagon. And of course, you know, he's the bantamweight champion. We know how capable he is and also how difficult he is to figure out. You know, we've seen this in previous fights with fighters that are, you know, perhaps have a technical advantage over him, perhaps have abilities that they should be able to utilize better against him, but they struggle because of the way that he fights. The Petr Yan fight is a good example of this because, of course, you know, there was frustration on the side of Petr Yan. He wanted to get to Aljamain Sterling, but the pace and the rhythm that Aljamain Sterling fights with makes it difficult for him to make a comfortable decision to do something and open up. And I think, you know, we saw a difference in Petr Yan against Sean O'Malley because he wanted to take more chances, because he had 15 minutes instead of 25. He wanted to keep pace on his opponent and make sure that he wasn't losing rounds because his opponent was outworking him marginally each round. Like, Petr Yan's an interesting comparison between the two because he likes to pressure and walk people down without opening up and doing a great deal. That makes him difficult to deal with, but also it means that he has to be very impactful with what he does to win rounds. Whereas on Aljamain Sterling's side and certainly Sean O'Malley's side, they're very good at kind of at working constantly. They're always doing something, touching, shifting, throwing kicks, level changing. So given the fact that they take the initiative, often made Petr Yan look like he was on the back foot. But the difference between Yan when he fought Aljamain Sterling, when he didn't really open up too much over 25 minutes, and when he fought Sean O'Malley when he tried to over 15, is that we saw how effective Sean O'Malley was in that fight. There's a very modern style to the way that Sean O'Malley fights. And I think, you know, partly because of his joining mixed martial arts at the age that he is, with mixed martial arts kind of being an established thing. He didn't go through all of the, you know, the traditional martial arts and gather a bunch of stuff that he didn't necessarily need. So everything is going onto a blank page, a clean slate. His striking is being finely tuned. Tim Welsh is his coach, isn't he, Jamie? He does such a good job of identifying certain patterns that O'Malley's going to need against each opponent and then training them into O'Malley and then triggering them from the corner. And you know, this is kind of sometimes where there's a benefit in having a perhaps a younger, fresh-faced coach. We see lots of younger coaches coming through now and they're doing really big things because they're looking at mixed martial arts with no hang-ups of previous trainings. They're not, oh, well, I came from, you know, kickboxing or kung fu or Jeet Kune Do or whatever. They're looking at mixed martial arts as the problem that they need to solve, and then they're giving their fighters the tools that they need to solve it. Like Sean O'Malley does some very clever things, but he also listens very well to his corner team, who have coached very clever things into him. And there's a benefit in the way that Sean O'Malley trains. And I always use this as an example when I'm talking to young fighters. And I mean no offense by this, but I often say you need an Artem. You need an Artem Lobov, right? Like Conor McGregor did so well sparring with Artem Lobov because he was able to try things and test things. Like Lobov is a determined individual. He's confident that he can get into punching range and land his hands, but he's not necessarily the most technical or finesseful fighter out there. I think we can all agree with that. And the benefit for McGregor is that he had somebody that was there to be hit. He had someone that would bite on the feint so he could work on those counters. And McGregor has amazing counters because of that. And fighters that train in a playful environment where there is a lot of, oh, let me try this, and they're not getting punished for making mistakes, they grow so much quicker. They find areas of their game that they can then carry into the fight and utilize under a calm mindset. And I feel like we see that with Sean O'Malley. There's a very modern style to the way that he approaches MMA, to the way that he delivers his striking, and also the way that he does jiu-jitsu as well. And I think he's a brown belt Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but his jiu-jitsu is specific for MMA. He doesn't necessarily, you know, there's not a determination, I don't think, to learn the traditional gi jiu-jitsu, because Sean O'Malley knows what he's trying to achieve. He's trying to be the UFC champion. So he's therefore his jiu-jitsu is specific to what he's going to require for mixed martial arts. On the other side, you've got Aljamain Sterling, 23 wins on his record, 3 by knockout. So not a huge power puncher, 8 submissions though. So his game is far more stacked in the grappling ranges. He was a strong wrestler. I think it was a Division 3 wrestler. Trains with Matt Serra, of course, trains at the Longo team. So he's got, you know, Marab and Aya Quinta and a bunch of different guys around him that are going to be in his face and force him to work at a high pace. One thing I will say about Aljamain Sterling's style, though, is and there's, I'm learning to appreciate the fact that there's no plan. There's no real plan to Aljamain Sterling. It's the decision is whether he's in fourth gear or fifth gear, because no matter what he's doing, he's going, right? Like the corner advice is, go Aljo, hey Aljo, great fucking job Aljo, etc., etc. Like the technical information is not necessarily there when he's fighting, so I don't necessarily think the technical information is there when he's being coached. But what he does do very well is keeps going, right? You look at his fights against Peter Yan, and it was the fact that he was willing to work constantly forced Peter Yan into a more defensive game plan. And then later on in the fight, especially the first one, you start realizing, well, Peter Yan starts realizing, hang on a minute, he's stealing rounds from me here. He's outpointing me. He's clinging onto me in certain circumstances and winning those exchanges. And he's on my back and he's won that round. And like rounds can be stolen from you by Aljamain Sterling's work rate alone. And because he's in incredible condition, and because he's a very good athlete, and because he's got wrestling to jiu-jitsu, that's his foundation. So he can flow through stuff and do weird things and dip his head off to one side and throw high kicks. And like, there's an odd rhythm to everything that he does. You know, I watched a couple of his fights earlier today. I watched his fight against Cejudo, where he's standing in a southpaw stance, and he does this kind of roll through. And in that moment, you see Cejudo go, is he level changing? Is he going to come with a high kick? And he doesn't. He just steps through and he rolls and swipes him with a big left hand. And in that moment, I'm measuring the table again, Jamie. In that moment, Aljamain Sterling's not stepping into range with a plan. He's doing what is natural to him from sparring. He's taking a little piece of a pattern that he may have drilled on pads and he's throwing it into the fight. Or he's just moving himself into range and he sees the opportunity. On the other side, Sean O'Malley and certainly his coaches in the corner are going to be watching what Aljamain Sterling does. They will have watched his back catalogue. They will find certain things that he does that puts him in vulnerable positions, right? I mean, the first one that comes to mind is him level changing with his arms out to the sides. That centre channel for kicks and knees, uppercuts, etc., is going to be a key for Sean O'Malley because it's a consistency in Aljamain Sterling and because Aljo doesn't necessarily observe himself in the same ways that Sean O'Malley does as far as his technical abilities in striking, I feel like he's not going to realise that he's vulnerable until it's been capitalised upon. So Aljamain Sterling's got a very kind of fluid style. Like he drifts into range and he tangles people up and he climbs to their back. And if there's space, he'll pepper them with weird strikes and he'll swipe with kicks. There's not necessarily much of a plan to what he's doing, but because there isn't much of a plan, he tends to do the same things consistently, which will give Sean O'Malley good triggers to counter, things that he can slip and counter, things that he can cover and counter. So I expect Sean O'Malley to be the one that's on the back foot, moving and trying to pull Aljamain Sterling into his range. But at the same time, when he's pulling Aljo into his range, he's either got to hit him or keep moving. Because when Aljamain Sterling moves into range, like I said, he's fluid. So it's difficult to predict what's coming next, whether it's a kick or an overhand or a level change. And then once he's made contact with you, he's very sticky. He stays on you. He clamps on. He drags you down. And like you look at the Stamen fight, even a circumstance where a lot of fighters would have slid off the back and lost the position, he clamps onto a leg and he finishes with a beautiful Suluev stretch, which we've talked about before on the channel. A very, very unusual submission, but really nice in scrambles against someone that does potentially give their back in Sean O'Malley and someone that does potentially want to stand up and tripod because he's tall and shake his opponent off forward. I'm thinking Aljamain Sterling's going to look at Sean O'Malley's body from a jiu-jitsu wrestling perspective and think, I'm going to be able to manhandle him. I'm going to be able to stay on him until I can slow him down and keep mat returning until Sean O'Malley starts to get frustrated or tired, which I think frustrated comes before tired for sure with O'Malley. And I think that Aljamain Sterling backpacking and clamping onto a harness is going to make Sean O'Malley like, he'll look up at the clock, he'll look over at his corner, he'll be hand fighting, of course, but they're the moments where Aljamain Sterling can be underestimated because he can throw something at you that doesn't make sense. Like he'll jump on a rear naked choke position with no hooks in, or he'll jump onto a back in a position where he would want to attack a rear naked choke from, but knowing he's going to lose it because he has Suluev stretches, etc., to add on to it. Now, 8 submissions on Aljamain Sterling's record, 5 of them being rear naked chokes. We've got a guillotine, an arm triangle, and I said the Suluev stretch. On O'Malley's side, there's just 1 rear naked choke back in 2015. So it seems to me quite clear from their records what both of these guys are going to have to do to win. Aljamain Sterling is going to have to wrestle, smother Sean O'Malley as much as he can so he can take away that slick and tricky striking game that he's got. If he can make Sean O'Malley tired, then absolutely Aljamain Sterling can start contending on the feet as well. But I do think he's going to be, is it a technical deficit on the feet because he doesn't have as much of a strategy. There's a good saying, and I think I stole it off Garry Kasparov. Tactics is knowing what to do when there's something to do. Strategy is knowing what to do when there's nothing to do. And that is the challenge when you're fighting someone like Peter Yan who doesn't open up. Now, the challenge here for Aljamain Sterling is to figure out what Sean O'Malley's strategy is. And within Sean O'Malley's strategy, he has tactics to make sure the strategy is successful. Aljamain Sterling has tactics, but I think he lacks the strategy part. And I think he makes up for the strategy part because he's got good tactics and he's got good conditioning. I know that might sound kind of confusing, but if you can separate off the words tactics and strategy and see what's different about them, like tactics are they're the nuts and bolts within the plan. right? The tactic is he's going to throw his jab, I'm a slip off and counter. Or the tactic is he's going to throw a body shot, I'm going to counter with a hook to the body. Or that he's going to level change, I'm going to search for his neck just to scare the hell out of him and force him to bail out. They're tactics, right? Tactics because there's something to do within the grander picture. The strategy is what to do when there's nothing happening. And that's where Sean O'Malley is going to be at a deficit because he can't figure out the strategy of Aljamain Sterling if he doesn't have one. Like, what is Aljamain Sterling's plan? Because sometimes he works too hard in one round and not enough in another. Sometimes he works so hard in one round just because he feels like that's the only way to keep his opponent out. But then he'll be at a detriment later on in the fight because he can't keep up that pace for 25 minutes, even with the conditioning that he's got. So there's benefits and drawbacks to both of them. Now, one thing I do want to add in as well, because I've seen Aljamain Sterling hitting pads with Eric Nixick, and I'm hoping that there's some additional things that have been added to his game, because a new look and some new striking skills would go a long way to making Aljamain Sterling a far more well-rounded fighter. Like there are certain things in his game that he does well with striking, but it's largely accidental. He throws it to land, of course, but he doesn't throw it with a foundation to assist it landing. Like, he's not doing anything to force his opponent to slip in that direction or step in that direction. Sean O'Malley will do those things. So Aljamain Sterling's got to constantly be wondering at the same time, if he's not doing anything, what's Sean O'Malley's strategy? What is Aljamain Sterling being left vulnerable to because he's not aware what Sean O'Malley's strategy is? This is a real interesting question for me, because if O'Malley can keep space from Sterling, he's going to be working that lead hand, seeing what he bites on. Does he bite on that cross? If I hit him in the leg, does he start picking that up? Does he start reaching for the ankle? All of this information is going to be taken in by Sean O'Malley, and it's going to be taken in by his corner team, who have already got a good foundation of what they understand about Aljamain Sterling because they've done their research. And I can't oversell the value of research in these circumstances. Every single one of these fighters has patterns. And even if it's a pattern that they don't use particularly very often, an awareness of it is always going to be more valuable. Like, if O'Malley had never faced or he'd never seen Aljamain Sterling before, if this was a random matchup, he showed up to an event in California and they brought in somebody who was the right weight class and you guys are fighting, Sean O'Malley might be shaking Aljamain Sterling off his back and give a Suluev stretch. And it's only happened once in Sterling's career. But because O'Malley is aware of it, it's going to be much more difficult for Aljo to get that Suluev stretch the second time around. That's the benefit in planning. And we saw O'Malley do the same thing, or O'Malley's camp at least, do the same thing with Peter Yan, recognizing that he reaches and he pulls his head back. Sterling makes some of those same mistakes as well. So O'Malley's going to be trying to make the most of those opportunities. Sometimes I look at my notepad after the show and I think to myself, oh, I didn't mention that. Literally, for Aljamain Sterling, I wrote down as I was writing him, no plan, no strategy, no tactics, always in the moment. Always in the moment. So this is the benefit, you see, right? Because sometimes you can have a preconceived idea of what you're gonna expect and what you're gonna land. If Sean O'Malley goes in there and goes, right, this is the Aljamain Sterling I'm gonna get, and he's got a game plan built around that specifically, and then Aljo's got new skills to his game, O'Malley's gonna have to react in the moment, which is not something that he's necessarily prepared himself to do. Because Aljamain Sterling only exists in the moment, he's much better at dealing with the unpredictable because he's open to whatever happens. Like, sometimes you can, what's the phrase that Mark Goddard said it to me once, and it stuck in my mind, and it's relevant for commentators as well as judges as well as referees. I can't be preoccupied with what I think might happen, right? I might be fighting someone that is awesome at slipping the jab and countering with the right hand, like O'Malley, slip counter, or left hand, slip counter. And I might be waiting for them to do that because I might have the perfect counter for their counter, right? I'm out thinking their thinking. I'm going to throw their jab and I'm expecting them to slip and throw their cross. But they might not. They might have added a new thing to their game. And if I'm preoccupied with the counter I'm expecting, I might not be ready for the counter that's actually coming. So again, benefits to planning, but drawbacks to not being in the moment every moment, which is what Aljamain Sterling is. And as I said, you know, he makes up for a lot of it because of his intensity and his pace, and his condition is incredible. Nearly an hour and 10 minutes of control time, the leader in total strikes landed. Aljamain Sterling wins total strikes. Sean O'Malley wins significant strike accuracy. I'm always more interested in that. Who can do the least and do the most? You know, do the least and win cleaner. And I think that's what Sean O'Malley is going to be looking for here. He's going to be looking for a clean performance against a very chaotic individual. What haven't I said? Hand play, yep. Giving backs in scrambles, I've said that. Yeah, Peter Yan was difficult because he doesn't open up very easily. I make these little triggers for myself. So when I read that, I think to myself, okay, that's what I was thinking when I made that note. And all the time, this is the thing about Sean O'Malley. He's very, very good at reacting to what's in front of him because he does his research and he prepares things. Aljamain Sterling's very good at reacting to what's in front of him because he's just there in the moment with no preconceived conceptions. I'm going to bring my game and I'm going to throw it at you and deal with whatever comes at me. Sean O'Malley's tailoring and tweaking his games in order to get his game in order to specifically fight Aljamain Sterling. There's a lot of reasons to be excited for this one. Oh, I didn't do the lesser stats, did I? So strikes landed per minute is Sean O'Malley's side, 7.43. Striking accuracy, as I said, is plus 60%. Strikes absorbed per minute and strike defense, you know, they're a bit of a contradiction there. But generally, Sean O'Malley's very good at getting himself out of distance and being able to land with counter strikes, height and reach advantage in this one. The downside will be if Aljo is able to take him down, that's when the strikes absorbed is going to start to climb. Takedown average, of course, that's going to be higher on Aljo's side. His persistence with takedown average is the key here. So he's averaging 2 per 15 minutes with a takedown accuracy of 24%. So say he lands a quarter of his takedowns, you know, he's shooting a lot. He's shooting like 8 times per 15 minutes on average. And I know that's a low average because I know that he's going to be shooting more than that in this fight specifically. Submission average slightly higher for Aljamain Sterling. Takedown defense slightly higher for O'Malley. 60% takedown defense for O'Malley. What haven't I said? What haven't I said, Jamie? I think that's about everything, isn't it? Oh, that is delicious. A banger of a fight. Really, really lots of fun. Try and spot that difference between the two fighting styles. Aljo is very, very flow state. Whatever comes to mind, whatever feels most natural in the moment, regardless of what his opponent's doing. For O'Malley, he's looking at dismantling people. He's looking at showing you something of his martial arts game that was well prepared and well thought out and gets him the bantamweight title around his waist. Very exciting. Make sure you check out Harney & Sons Tea. They've got fantastic stuff. If you use our code FULLREPTILE, you'll get an additional 15% off the stuff on the sale as well, which is 20% discounted. Really lovely, good quality teas for a nice, peaceful English afternoon. Enjoy these fights, and I will see you next time. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the UFC 292 main event for the bantamweight title, defending champion Aljamain Sterling, taking on the very exciting and very marketable Sean O'Malley. Of course, we're very excited about this one. It should be quite a wild fight. Very chaotic styles, both of these guys. One a bit more measured than the other, and I'll come into that in a moment. A quick shout out to our new sponsor, Harney & Sons Tees. This is an ideal sponsor for the channel, as you can imagine. They have a sale right now on their wellness tees. They're 20% off. If you use the code FULLREPTILE, you'll get an additional 15% off. I believe this one's the organic tune-up, which I'm just getting into at the moment. Honestly, these teas are high quality, delicious, that you're going to be really pleased with these teas when you order some. And I've got to give this a shout out as well. This is, if you don't have golden milk before you go to bed and wake up the next morning feeling as wonderful as I do, you're going to regret it. Make sure you get some golden milk. It's really, really good stuff. Nice, quality, organic teas, taste delicious, and of course, Suitful Reptile and the whole crew perfectly. Okay, right, tale of the tape. So, the defending champion, Aljamain Sterling, 23 wins and 3 losses on his record. Sean O'Malley with an equally impressive but not quite as experienced 16-1 with 1 no contest. Sean O'Malley will have a height and reach advantage. The reach is only 1 inch, but the height is 4 inches. And I think we're going to see that reach advantage if Aljamain Sterling makes the mistake of giving him the space that he wants to work with. 11 knockouts on the record of Sean O'Malley out of 16. He's got very, very high striking statistics just kind of across the board. Very, very slick. Significant strikes, the highest in the division at 60.9%. Just a good management of work rate. Nothing too crazy, nothing too outlandish. Doesn't take too many crazy risks, even though he's got quite a free-flowing style. On the other side, Aljamain Sterling is, you know, of course, very experienced, holds a lot of number ones in the statistics for the bantamweight division. Control time, total strikes, 1,646. Decision wins, win streak, total fight time. It's like something like 4 hours worth of total fight time. It's crazy the amount of time that Aljamain Sterling spent inside the octagon. And of course, you know, he's the bantamweight champion. We know how capable he is and also how difficult he is to figure out. You know, we've seen this in previous fights with fighters that are, you know, perhaps have a technical advantage over him, perhaps have abilities that they should be able to utilize better against him, but they struggle because of the way that he fights. The Peter Yan fight is a good example of this because, of course, you know, there was frustration on the side of Peter Yan. He wanted to get to Aljamain Sterling, but the pace and the rhythm that Aljamain Sterling fights with makes it difficult for him to make a comfortable decision to do something and open up. And I think, you know, we saw a difference in Peter Yan against Sean O'Malley because he wanted to take more chances, because he had 15 minutes instead of 25. He wanted to keep pace on his opponent and make sure that he wasn't losing rounds because his opponent was outworking him marginally each round. Like, Peter Yan's an interesting comparison between the two because he likes to pressure and walk people down without opening up and doing a great deal. That makes him difficult to deal with, but also it means that he has to be very impactful with what he does to win rounds. Whereas on Aljamain Sterling's side and certainly Sean O'Malley's side, they're very good at kind of at working constantly. They're always doing something, touching, shifting, throwing kicks, level changing. So given the fact that they take the initiative, often made Peter Yan look like he was on the back foot. But the difference between Yan when he fought Aljamain Sterling, when he didn't really open up too much over 25 minutes, and when he fought Sean O'Malley when he tried to over 15, is that we saw how effective Sean O'Malley was in that fight. There's a very modern style to the way that Sean O'Malley fights. And I think, you know, partly because of his joining mixed martial arts at the age that he is, with mixed martial arts kind of being an established thing. He didn't go through all of the, you know, the traditional martial arts and gather a bunch of stuff that he didn't necessarily need. So everything is going onto a blank page, a clean slate. His striking is being finely tuned. Tim Welsh is his coach, isn't he, Jamie? He does such a good job of identifying certain patterns that O'Malley's going to need against each opponent and then training them into O'Malley and then triggering them from the corner. And you know, this is kind of sometimes where there's a benefit in having a, you know, a perhaps a younger, fresh-faced coach. We see lots of younger coaches coming through now and they're doing really big things because they're looking at mixed martial arts with no hang-ups of previous trainings. They're not, oh well, I came from, you know, kickboxing or kung fu or jeet kune do or whatever. They're looking at mixed martial arts as the problem that they need to solve, and then they're giving their fighters the tools that they need to solve it. Like, Sean O'Malley does some very clever things, but he also listens very well to his corner team, who have coached very clever things into him. And there's a benefit in the way that Sean O'Malley trains. And I always use this as an example when I'm talking to young fighters. And I mean no offense by this, but I often say you need an Artem. You need an Artem Lobov, right? Like Conor McGregor did so well sparring with Artem Lobov because he was able to try things and test things. Like Lobov is a determined individual. He's confident that he can get into punching range and land his hands, but he's not necessarily the most technical or finesseful fighter out there. I think we can all agree with that. And the benefit for McGregor is that he had somebody that was there to be hit. He had someone that would bite on the feint so he could work on those counters. And McGregor has amazing counters because of that. And fighters that train in a playful environment where there is a lot of, oh, let me try this, and they're not getting punished for making mistakes, they grow so much quicker. They find areas of their game that they can then carry into the fight and utilize under a calm mindset. And I feel like we see that with Sean O'Malley. There's a very modern style to the way that he approaches MMA, to the way that he delivers his striking, and also the way that he does jiu-jitsu as well. And I think he's a brown belt Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but his jiu-jitsu is specific for MMA. He doesn't necessarily, you know, there's not a determination, I don't think, to learn the traditional gi jiu-jitsu, because Sean O'Malley knows what he's trying to achieve. He's trying to be the UFC champion. So he's therefore his jiu-jitsu is specific to what he's going to require for mixed martial arts. On the other side, you've got Aljamain Sterling, 23 wins on his record, 3 by knockout. So not a huge power puncher, 8 submissions though. So his game is far more stacked in the grappling ranges. He was a strong wrestler. I think it was a Division 3 wrestler. Trains with Matt Serra, of course, trains at the Longo team. So he's got, you know, Marab and Aya Quinta and a bunch of different guys around him that are going to be in his face and force him to work at a high pace. One thing I will say about Aljamain Sterling's style, though, is I'm learning to appreciate the fact that there's no plan. There's no real plan to Aljamain Sterling. It's the decision is whether he's in fourth gear or fifth gear, because no matter what he's doing, he's going, right? Like the corner advice is, go Aljo, hey Aljo, great fucking job Aljo, etc., etc. Like the technical information is not necessarily there when he's fighting, so I don't necessarily think the technical information is there when he's being coached. But what he does do very well is keeps going, right? You look at his fights against Peter Yan, and it was the fact that he was willing to work constantly forced Peter Yan into a more defensive game plan. And then later on in the fight, especially the first one, you start realizing, or Peter Yan starts realizing, hang on a minute, he's stealing rounds from me here. He's outpointing me. He's clinging onto me in certain circumstances and winning those exchanges. And he's on my back and he's won that round. And like rounds can be stolen from you by Aljamain Sterling's work rate alone. And because he's in incredible condition, and because he's a very good athlete, and because he's got wrestling to jiu-jitsu, that's his foundation. So he can flow through stuff and do weird things and dip his head off to one side and throw high kicks. And like, there's an odd rhythm to everything that he does. You know, I watched a couple of his fights earlier today. I watched his fight against Cejudo, where he's standing in a southpaw stance, and he does this kind of roll through. And in that moment, you see Cejudo go, is he level changing? Is he going to come with a high kick? And he doesn't. He just steps through and he rolls and swipes him with a big left hand. And in that moment, I'm measuring the table again, Jamie. In that moment, Aljamain Sterling's not stepping into range with a plan. He's doing what is natural to him from sparring. He's taking a little piece of a pattern that he may have drilled on pads and he's throwing it into the fight. Or he's just moving himself into range and he sees the opportunity. On the other side, Sean O'Malley and certainly his coaches in the corner are going to be watching what Aljamain Sterling does. They will have watched his back catalogue. They will find certain things that he does that puts him in vulnerable positions, right? I mean, the first one that comes to mind is him level changing with his arms out to the sides. That centre channel for kicks and knees, uppercuts, etc., is going to be a key for Sean O'Malley, because it's a consistency in Aljamain Sterling, and because Aljo doesn't necessarily observe himself in the same ways that Sean O'Malley does as far as his technical abilities in striking, I feel like he's not going to realise that he's vulnerable until it's been capitalised upon. So Aljamain Sterling's got a very kind of fluid style. Like, he drifts into range and he tangles people up and he climbs to their back. And if there's space, he'll pepper them with weird strikes and he'll swipe with kicks. There's not necessarily much of a plan to what he's doing, but because there isn't much of a plan, he tends to do the same things consistently, which will give Sean O'Malley good triggers to counter, things that he can slip and counter, things that he can cover and counter. So I expect Sean O'Malley to be the one that's on the back foot, moving and trying to pull Aljamain Sterling into his range. But at the same time, when he's pulling Aljo into his range, he's either got to hit him or keep moving. Because when Aljamain Sterling moves into range, like I said, he's fluid, so it's difficult to predict what's coming next, whether it's a kick or an overhand or a level change. And then once he's made contact with you, he's very sticky. He stays on you, he clamps on, he drags you down, and... like, you look at the Stamen fight, even a circumstance where a lot of fighters would have slid off the back and lost the position, he clamps onto a leg and he finishes with a beautiful Suluev stretch, which we've talked about before on the channel. A very, very unusual submission, but really nice in scrambles against someone that does potentially give their back in Sean O'Malley, and someone that does potentially want to stand up and tripod because he's tall and shake his opponent off forward. I'm thinking Aljamain Sterling's going to look at Sean O'Malley's body from a jiu-jitsu wrestling perspective and think, I'm going to be able to manhandle him. I'm going to be able to stay on him until I can slow him down and keep mat returning until Sean O'Malley starts to get frustrated or tired, which I think frustrated comes before tired for sure with O'Malley. And I think that Aljamain Sterling backpacking and clamping onto a harness is going to make Sean O'Malley like, he'll look up at the clock, he'll look over at his corner, he'll be hand fighting, of course, but they're the moments where Aljamain Sterling can be underestimated, because he can throw something at you that doesn't make sense. Like, he'll jump on a rear naked choke position with no hooks in, or he'll jump onto a back in a position where he would want to attack a rear naked choke from, but knowing he's going to lose it because he has Suluev stretches, etc., to add on to it. Now, 8 submissions on Aljamain Sterling's record, 5 of them being rear naked chokes. We've got a guillotine, an arm triangle, and I said the Suluev stretch. On O'Malley's side, there's just 1 rear naked choke back in 2015. So it seems to me quite clear from their records what both of these guys are going to have to do to win. Aljamain Sterling is going to have to wrestle, smother Sean O'Malley as much as he can so he can take away that slick and tricky striking game that he's got. If he can make Sean O'Malley tired, then absolutely Aljamain Sterling can start contending on the feet as well. But I do think he's going to be, is it a technical deficit on the feet, because he doesn't have as much of a strategy. There's a good saying, and I think I stole it off Garry Kasparov. Tactics is knowing what to do when there's something to do. Strategy is knowing what to do when there's nothing to do. And that is the challenge when you're fighting someone like Peter Yan who doesn't open up. Now, the challenge here for Aljamain Sterling is to figure out what Sean O'Malley's strategy is. And within Sean O'Malley's strategy, he has tactics to make sure the strategy is successful. Aljamain Sterling has tactics, but I think he lacks the strategy part. And I think he makes up for the strategy part because he's got good tactics and he's got good conditioning. I know that might sound kind of confusing, but if you can separate off the words tactics and strategy and see what's different about them, like, tactics are they're the nuts and bolts within the plan, right? The tactic is he's going to throw his jab, I'm a slip off and counter. Or the tactic is he's going to throw a body shot and a counter with a hook to the body. Or that he's going to level change, I'm going to search for his neck just to scare the hell out of him and force him to bail out. They're tactics, right? Tactics because there's something to do within the grander picture. The strategy is what to do when there's nothing happening. And that's where Sean O'Malley is going to be at a deficit, because he can't figure out the strategy of Aljamain Sterling if he doesn't have one. Like, what is Aljamain Sterling's plan? Because sometimes he works too hard in one round and not enough in another. Sometimes he works so hard in one round just because he feels like that's the only way to keep his opponent out. But then he'll be at a detriment later on in the fight because he can't keep up that pace for 25 minutes, even with the conditioning that he's got. So there's benefits and drawbacks to both of them. Now, one thing I do want to add in as well, because I've seen Aljamain Sterling hitting pads with Eric Nixik, and I'm hoping that there's some additional things that have been added to his game, because A new look and some new striking skills would go a long way to making Aljamain Sterling a far more well-rounded fighter. Like there's, you know, there are certain things in his game that he does well with striking, but it's largely accidental. He throws it to land, of course, but he doesn't throw it with a foundation to assist it landing. Like, he's not doing anything to force his opponent to slip in that direction or step in that direction. Sean O'Malley will do those things. So Aljamain Sterling's got to constantly be wondering at the same time, if he's not doing anything, what's Sean O'Malley's strategy? What is Aljamain Sterling being left vulnerable to because he's not aware what Sean O'Malley's strategy is? This is a real interesting question for me, because if O'Malley can keep space from Sterling, he's going to be working that lead hand, seeing what he bites on. Does he bite on that cross? If I hit him in the leg, does he start picking that up? Does he start reaching for the ankle? All of this information is going to be taken in by Sean O'Malley, and it's going to be taken in by his corner team, who have already got a good foundation of what they understand about Aljamain Sterling because they've done their research. And I can't oversell the value of research in these circumstances. Every single one of these fighters has patterns. And even if it's a pattern that they don't use particularly very often, an awareness of it is always going to be more valuable. Like, if O'Malley had never faced or he'd never seen Aljamain Sterling before, if this was a random matchup, he showed up to an event in California and they brought in somebody who was the right weight class and you guys are fighting, Sean O'Malley might be shaking Aljamain Sterling off his back and give a Suluev stretch. And it's only happened once in Sterling's career. But because O'Malley is aware of it, it's going to be much more difficult for Aljo to get that Suluev stretch the second time around. That's the benefit in planning. And we saw O'Malley do the same thing, or O'Malley's camp at least, do the same thing with Peter Yan, recognizing that he reaches and he pulls his head back. Sterling makes some of those same mistakes as well. So O'Malley's going to be trying to make the most of those opportunities. Sometimes I look at my notepad after the show and I think to myself, oh, I didn't mention that. Literally, for Aljamain Sterling, I wrote down as I was writing him, no plan, no strategy, no tactics, always in the moment. Always in the moment. So this is the benefit, you see, right? Because sometimes you can have a preconceived idea of what you're going to expect and what you're going to land. If Sean O'Malley goes in there and goes, right, this is the Aljamain Sterling I'm going to get, and he's got a game plan built around that specifically, and then Aljo's got new skills to his game, O'Malley's going to have to react in the moment, which is not something that he's necessarily prepared himself to do. Because Aljamain Sterling only exists in the moment, he's much better at dealing with the unpredictable because he's open to whatever happens. Like, sometimes you can, what's the phrase that Mark Goddard said it to me once, and it stuck in my mind, and it's relevant for commentators as well as judges as well as referees. I can't be preoccupied with what I think might happen, right? I might be fighting someone that is awesome at slipping the jab and countering with the right hand, like O'Malley, slip counter, or left hand, slip counter. And I might be waiting for them to do that because I might have the perfect counter for their counter, right? I'm out thinking their thinking. I'm going to throw their jab and I'm expecting them to slip and throw their cross. But they might not. They might have added a new thing to their game. And if I'm preoccupied with the counter I'm expecting, I might not be ready for the counter that's actually coming. So again, benefits to planning, but drawbacks to not being in the moment every moment, which is what Aljamain Sterling is. And as I said, you know, he makes up for a lot of it because of his intensity and his pace, and his condition is incredible. Nearly an hour and 10 minutes of control time, the leader in total strikes landed. Aljamain Sterling wins total strikes. Sean O'Malley wins significant strike accuracy. I'm always more interested in that. Who can do the least and do the most? You know, do the least and win cleaner. And I think that's what Sean O'Malley is going to be looking for here. He's going to be looking for a clean performance against a very chaotic individual. What haven't I said? Hand play, yep. Giving backs in scrambles, I've said that. Peter Yan was difficult because he doesn't open up very easily. I make these little triggers for myself. So when I read that, I think to myself, okay, that's what I was thinking when I made that note. And all the time, this is the thing about about Sean O'Malley. He's very, very good at reacting to what's in front of him because he does his research and he prepares things. Aljamain Sterling's very good at reacting to what's in front of him because he's just there in the moment with no preconceived conceptions. I'm going to bring my game and I'm going to throw it at you and deal with whatever comes at me. Sean O'Malley's tailoring and tweaking his games in order to get his game in order to specifically fight Aljamain Sterling. There's a lot of reasons to be excited for this one. Oh, I didn't do the lesser stats, did I? So strikes lined up per minute is Sean O'Malley's side, 7.43. Striking accuracy, as I said, is plus 60%. Strikes absorbed per minute and strike defense, you know, they're a bit of a contradiction there. But generally, Sean O'Malley's very good at getting himself out of distance and being able to land with counter strikes, height and reach advantage in this one. The downside will be if Aljo's able to take him down. That's when the strikes absorbed is going to start to climb. Takedown average, of course, that's going to be higher on Aljo's side. His persistence with takedown average is the key here. So he's averaging 2 per 15 minutes with a takedown accuracy of 24%. So say he lands a quarter of his takedowns, you know, he's shooting a lot. He's shooting like 8 times per 15 minutes on average. And I know that's a low average because I know that he's going to be shooting more than that in this fight specifically. Submission average slightly higher for Aljamain Sterling. Takedown defense slightly higher for O'Malley. 60% takedown offense for O'Malley. What haven't I said, Jamie? I think that's about everything, isn't it? Oh, that is delicious. A banger of a fight. Really, really lots of fun. Try and spot that difference between the two fighting styles. Aljo is very, very flow state. Whatever comes to mind, whatever feels most natural in the moment, regardless of what his opponent's doing. For O'Malley, he's looking at dismantling people. He's looking at showing you something of his martial arts game that was well prepared and well thought out and gets him the bantamweight title around his waist. Very exciting. Make sure you check out Harney & Sons Tea. They've got fantastic stuff. If you use our code FULLREPTILE, you'll get an additional 15% off the stuff on the sale as well, which is 20% discounted. Really lovely, good quality teas for a nice, peaceful English afternoon. Enjoy these fights, and I will see you next time.